There's been a change in our scripture reading this morning. Our first scripture reading comes from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 through 5, and that is in your pew Bible, page 619. A voice of one calling, in the desert prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And our second reading is from Proverbs chapter 24, verse 27. That's in your pew Bible, page 567. Finish your outdoor work and get your fields ready. After that, build your house.
Thanks, Francis. Thanks, TJ. Thank you, Beth. And there's one more scripture reading. I started to give this to Beth, and then I said, no, because every time I ask her to read scripture after the first time, she looks to see some of the names in here. Ezra chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. After this, in the reign of King Artaxerxes of Persia, Ezra, son of Sariah, son of Azariah, son of Hilkiah, son of Shallum, son of Zadok, son of Ahitub, son of Amariah, son of Azariah, son of Merioth, son of Zerahiah, son of Uzi, son of Buki, son of Abishua, son of Phinehas, son of Eleazar, son of the chief priest Aaron. Don't you wish you had those? This Ezra went up from Babylonia. He was a scribe skilled in the law of Moses that the Lord, the God of Israel, had given. And the king granted him all that he asked, for the hand of the Lord his God was upon him. Some of the people of Israel and some of the priests and Levites, the singers and gatekeepers and the temple servants also went up to Jerusalem in the seventh year of King Artaxerxes. They came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was the seventh year of the king. On the first day of the first month, the journey up from Babylon was begun, and on the first day of the fifth month he came to Jerusalem, for the gracious hand of his God was upon him. For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach the statutes and the ordinances in Israel. Okay. Well, when I got a phone call this morning about Maxie being in the hospital and we were not going to be having the baby dedication because Avery wouldn't be here, preachers only work on Sundays and Wednesdays, and we just never prepare for anything else. So I decided we would have the singing this morning, we'd read the scripture, and now we're going to go home. Nope. You might have seen me. I looked to see if anybody got up to leave. And then I debated about pulling out one of the sermons that I already have written for the rest of June and for July, and this week I'll start on writing the ones for August. But then decided to do something a little bit differently. I don't know if you've noticed or not, and with the various translations of these passages, sometimes it doesn't completely come across, but in every one of these passages in the New Revised Standard Version from which I read, the word prepare is used. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare for the building of your house. Take care of your fields first and then build your house. And then in the story about Ezra, he had prepared himself by studying the law and came to teach the statutes and the ordinances. And I thought about preparation. Sorry, 2 weeks in a row. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. time in the movie Godspell at the beginning. The instruments start, and then other people join in, and they dance around, and they all head to one spot. It's a song sung by the character of John the Baptist in this modern-day story from Matthew called Godspell, set in New York City. New York City. Set in New York City. And yes, it's from the 70s, and the clothing and the hair are very 70-ish. But it talks about being prepared and preparing the way of the Lord. And so in thinking about that, these scriptures have come to mind about preparation, preparing the way of God, preparing ourselves as we build a house, being like Ezra, prepared to teach. Now, the word Ezra, or the name Ezra, probably comes from Azariah, but the Hebrew meaning is help or helper. Old Testament theologian Charles Gilkey calls Ezra the ready scribe, one who was prepared for his task in leading the people, in coming during a time when the walls of Jerusalem and the temple needed to be rebuilt after the Babylonian exile and during the time of King Artaxerxes of Persia. Ezra was a doctor of the law. And what that means is he spent a lot of time studying and preparing. Trust me, when you prepare for your doctorate, you do a lot of studying and preparation, or you don't ever see the end at the light of the tunnel. Right, Ann? The text says that Ezra set his heart, which means his mind, on studying and teaching the law. We're told that Ezra studied the law, which in the Hebrew context means that he was determined to find its implications, not just for worship, as in corporate worship in a temple or a synagogue, but his study was preparation to find those implications for the law in daily living. These books gathered together in what we call the Bible are not here just for us to occasionally look at for a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Wednesday night or a Wednesday morning Bible study or any other time. Rather, they are here for us to read daily to find out the implications of God's expectations for daily living. The text says that he studied to seek the law. Now, when you seek something, you're actually doing something. You're going after it. And what this means is that he recognized obedience. You didn't just read it and say, oh, that was nice, now let's go sit down and eat. But you actually attempted to put the law, the statutes, the ordinances, into practice. To seek the law meant to understand that obedience to the law would lead to a virtuous life. And in Judaism, activity, that is doing something based on your study and belief, is what ultimately leads you to salvation. You study the law, you study the teachings, and then you act upon it, and that's what leads you to salvation. Well, guess what? You get to the New Testament, you start studying the teachings of Jesus, the teachings of Paul, the teachings of the church, and when do you find salvation? When you act upon it and seek that out. So you see, the Old Testament's not so far from the New Testament, or vice versa. But Ezra here calls out to Artaxerxes and actually gets a letter from Artaxerxes, which is recorded later in the chapter and beyond, to let him go back and rebuild the temple. Not just the walls of Jerusalem. The people had become discouraged. The walls were not being rebuilt as they should have been. Some people were lamenting over the fact that things are no longer like they used to be. But Ezra prepared himself to come. And then he did something. He went to Artaxerxes. He convinced Artaxerxes to let him come back. And he didn't just sit there and say, "Folks, I've got a letter. I can come back. As soon as y'all send me the money, I'll come." No. He went on. He stepped out. He obeyed God's call. And he was there prepared to teach the statutes, something that is inscribed, something that is obligatory. So to prepare and to do are the twin ideals of all of Judaism. And guess what? That's exactly what Jesus taught. We study, we prepare, we listen, and then we do based on that. We find the writer of Proverbs says that we are to prepare our fields and prepare ourselves before building a house. And then we can go about building the house. I doubt that any of us would want to live in a house for which no preparation had been made. The materials hadn't been sought out. The plans hadn't been drawn. We wouldn't want to live in the house that was just thrown together. Perhaps half the nails missing. One wall higher than another, or one corner of the wall higher than another on the same wall, and all this kind of stuff. We wouldn't really want to do that, would we? We want the builder to prepare. We want all the workmen to be prepared. I've told you before that David, when he was younger, and somebody said, "Oh, your dad's a doctor," and he said, "Yeah, but he's not one that can do you any good." You probably would not want me doing cardiac or cardiothoracic surgery on you. Now, if you were a deer, I could skin you out real good and real quick. But you probably wouldn't want me doing cardiothoracic surgery. Why? Because you would want somebody who was better prepared than I to do that. Who had gone through the study and who had continued to work those skills and prepare themselves so they could help you out, right? It's the same thing with building anything. It's the same thing in building our lives and building our church. Preparation and action. That passage that John the Baptizer quoted, according to the Gospel writers, from Isaiah 40. "Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God, an ending. All people shall see it together." That wasn't just for John and his preparation for Jesus coming as Messiah. That's for each and every one of us. That charge and that call is for each and every one of us, because are we not called to make ready so that people can come to know the Messiah? Are we not called to prepare the way so that others can come to know Him? We're to prepare ourselves, prepare for others, to make straight or to make plain a way for God to enter lives that sometimes are in desert times. Some of us are walking through the desert even now. We may tell folks around us and ask them to pray for us, or perhaps we're walking through the desert hoping no one notices, no one sees the footprints, no one can see the telltale signs that we're in the wilderness. But God says, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." A part of our calling is to be prepared and to prepare the way for others to find God, even in the middle of the desert, so that all people will see this together. Or perhaps it's so that we might find God in those desert times in our lives. But only will that happen when we prepare ourselves. Prepare ourselves through study. Prepare ourselves in spirit. Prepare ourselves to see the presence of God even in the desert. We're to do that also so that others can see through our speaking, through our singing, through our living lives of perpetual preparedness, perpetual preparation. Preparation which allows us to be invitational, inviting, rather than disinvitational or disinviting. There's currently a discussion going on among some religious circles about whether our churches are invitational or disinvitational. Do the things that we do or say invite people, or do they kind of disinvite folks? Biblical writers say we are like Ezra, like John the Baptizer, to be prepared, to prepare ourselves and prepare the way for others to come. I don't know, it may come as a shock to you, but I want to tell you a few things today beyond this. The staff prepares. You may not always see the preparation through which we go. Chris prepares. Prepares for the youth, prepares for the children, prepares for VBS, prepares for other things, in addition to preparing for his own studies in school. TJ prepares for the music programs of the church. The choir and the various choirs do preparation. Francis prepares. Judy prepares. Sunday school teachers, I hope, prepare. I think most of you do, if not all of you. But that preparation is something that is required of us if we are to be faithful to God and if we are to be faithful to each other. Vacation Bible School is coming up. It is my hope and my prayer that everyone who teaches has already begun preparing. Everyone who leads singing has begun preparing. Everyone, I sure hope, everyone who's going to help with those meals when the children come, those snack suppers, I sure hope that they're going to be preparing. I hope they're not just going to toss it. Here's a can of beans and a can opener. Go at it. But that preparation goes into those things as well. Preparation into the recreation. Preparation into everything that we do. Why? Because we are preparing the way of the Lord for someone. We could go on and on about all the preparation that goes into the bulletin every week that Vicky does and that others do, or the newsletters every month, or Bible studies that we have. I promise you I've read at least part of, if not most of, every book in my library, and I still find new things. It's constant preparation. But it's not for me. Well, yeah, it is. It's so that I can find God in those desert times as well. I can find God and hopefully some refreshment and inspiration when I'm coming out of the exilic period. And the king says, yes, you can go back and you can start rebuilding this part of your life or counseling with this person and I'll help you along in helping them to rebuild or to come out of the desert. I dare say that you all who are still working and are not retired must prepare every day for work. And continue to prepare in the things that you do so that you can continue that work. Those who are retired have to prepare their own day, what they're going to do, and to meet the desert that comes up sometimes or the geyser of trouble that suddenly blows its top. And if we're not prepared, we have trouble finding God in the wilderness. We have trouble finding God in life, and we have trouble being faithful. But not only that, as I said to the children earlier, yes, we do vacate sometimes. And when we do, we are preparing ourselves with joy, right? We look forward to going on vacation. It's the coming back we dread. But we also need to prepare ourselves to find joy and comfort through worship and every time we think of worship. To find and prepare ourselves regularly to come and to gather for worship. To become refreshed. To live through the desert times of life as well as the oases. Those times of respite. To be ready in heart, mind, spirit, and soul. To prepare our house, ourselves, so that our house together is better prepared to make straight a highway for our God. To prepare to study and to do. Not just on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday or VBS, but to prepare and to do daily. So that like Ezra and so many others before and since, we find ourselves finding that way through daily living to follow the precepts of God, the call that He places upon our lives, so that we might truly be Ezra's helpers, ready scribes, ready workers, so that our lives call out, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Prepare ye the way of the Lord." Will you join me in prayer? Oh Lord our God, help us to be prepared so that when unexpected things arise, when we find ourselves in the deserts of life or approaching the oasis or somewhere in between, we have prepared the way for You to come into us and to work through us in our daily living. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. TJ, are we changing the hymn or leaving it as is? Leave it as is? I think so. Our closing hymn is hymn number 185. Not just a song for children, though oftentimes that's when we think about it. But number 185, and our altar is open for any decision, any preparation that you might be willing to make. And we will sing all three verses of "Jesus Loves Me."